Hello, parents, guardians, friends. Welcome to my channel, Digital Parenting with Evelyn Kasina. I know you're here because parenting and the family is a key priority to you. So whether you're planning to start your own family or you're already in it in this fourth industrial revolution, I want to assure you that you're in the right place. I am your host, Evelyn Kasina, and this season we are focusing on an amazing theme on proactive and intentional parenting. My guest today is a born-again Christian. He is married and blessed with 7 children, 3 boys and 4 girls. His parenting spectrum ranges from the years 18, and he even has a 2.5-year-old girl. So I'm curious to know from him whether there is any much sleeping in his house. Professionally, he is a trained teacher, turned microfinance, microinsurance specialist. His mantra is patience. One of the things I know about this guy is a choleric, so I need to know how a choleric can be a patient person, because I am one and I know patience is something I really struggle with. He is an intentional parenting enthusiast, and I want you to welcome me, to join me in welcoming Charles Wambua, who is our first male guest on this podcast. Charles, welcome so much to our podcast.
Thank you very much.
I am very curious, as I said, you have 7 children, an 18-year-old, and a 2.5-year-old girl. How do you sleep?
Wow. No, in many places I go, they call me Father Abraham. Because most of my colleagues, have 3, max, 4 children. Akienda sana, or if it's more, maybe 5 children. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there is sleep in my house. Oh, and wow. We've had to work around it. Lucky for us, the children are spaced out. In their birth years, we have a space of 2 years, up to the last one.
Was it on purpose? Good.
There is only one major gap between a boy and a girl, the middle ones, a gap of like 3 years or so. That was the longest. I think we needed a big breather. Mm-hmm. But it was intentional that we give each baby some years to grow, especially when they're young. It's tough because you have to wean them off, you have to train them, you have to train them on sleeping patterns and stuff before now they get to school going. I would say it's not easy to get the program running the way you want, but yes, we sleep.
Sleep. I am happy to hear that. Now, there is a myth that I want you to debunk for us, that in many parenting forums, we do normally see many women attending more than the men. And I just want you to probably tell us, if you know, why that is the case. Why don't men love sitting through parenting programs to just be told how to manage? Because we have seen even the kind of books that are published, most of them help the women from when they are pregnant to when they start, raising young children, to when they even become teenagers, and pre-teenagers, teenagers. Not many people focus on daddies. Why is that?
Yeah, that's a very good question. You will be surprised to find out how culture gets into us so subtly without realizing it. Because the woman is regarded to be the one who is mostly with the children, you will find that even without being intentional, men will relegate those responsibilities to their women. And slowly, it becomes a culture. And if within the family you have not, interrogated responsibilities and divided them or chosen intentionally to share them for the benefit of both of you and of your children, you will find that, culture will dominate. Culture from outside will dominate what you do and how you do your stuff. So yes, you will find actually, I go to, personally, I never miss any school function for my children. Most of the times, especially the little ones that have to be dropped in the morning, I'm the one who does it within our family and stuff. And I will do pickups as well. And those are very precious moments. But this is something that you agree between you and your wife, and why that is important. Most of the times she will be with the children. So you as a daddy, when do you create that moment to be with your children and create those bonding moments so that even as they grow up, you are imparting some stuff in their lives? So the long and short of that, the answer to your question is the main contribution to why things are the way they are is our culture. Okay. Our culture plays a major role.
So as we are still on that point of culture, are there things that you brought into your family life that were predominantly choices that you made as you saw how you grew up, the environment where you grew up? Are there things that you saw your father doing that you decided, I'm going to be very deliberate to do similar things, or I'm going to be very deliberate not to do certain things? Are there any things, particularly from your upbringing, that you said, I'm going to be able to do this, or I'm not going to do this as a dad? Can you share that with us?
Absolutely. You will note that our makeup is summed up by the way we were brought up, things that you learned, how the environment that you lived in influenced you and all that. So definitely I brought into our marriage things that I learned as I grew up. Like for example, my dad was, we grew up knowing that dad was tough. So, even though he loved mom, but most of the household stuff were done by mom. He was the guy who goes out there, does business and brings, stuff to the family, takes care of our school fees and everything. But mom was running with everything. So as I grew up, of course, those values, those ways of doing things become inculcated in the system. And I must say, I borrowed a lot from that. But getting born again and learning and relearning some stuff, when I got married and we started getting children, there are choices that I made. I made up my mind that I will bond with my children. I will be deliberately, play a key role in the lives of my children. And so I will be glad to mention that I coined a family mission, and it's a living document we have, and we keep revising it depending on where we are at, but the key elements remain, and each and every one of our children know our mission. So we have values that we espouse. These are not things that I grew being seen, seeing them painted like the way we have done within our family now, even though there are those values that you catch, even though they are not written down. But we chose to draw a mission for our family. We have a value system that we have deliberately put within our family. And yes, I like the choice of the words you have used. Things that I have chosen to introduce within the family to attain a certain goal. Yes, and there are many that we have done.
You know, I am a very frequent user of Facebook especially, and there's these very many groups that have family and parenting things. One of the things that I have seen is certain cultures that express very strongly that men, for instance, are not supposed to either go to the kitchen, men cannot help their wives do things like changing diapers. And I think when I look at the comments, you know, how people, you know, introduce their thoughts, their opinions, people tend to say that we Africans especially are trying to be very westernized, that men are not supposed to do certain things, as you have just rightly put it, that there are certain things you saw that were predominantly the role of the women, like household stuff, staying with the children. And men have been perceived to be those people who provide. So what can you say about the role of culture and mindsets? Because I think very many of us have the conflict where when certain people see your husband in the kitchen, they would really wonder. Because for instance, I had some guests sometime over Christmas, and I was doing certain work in the kitchen, and my husband came to serve the children snacks. And there's this guy who even made such a comment that made me wonder how he runs his house. And he said, I don't even know where the rice in my house is kept. You know, his pantry, he doesn't know. He just provides, the wife goes, buys, and he doesn't know where things are in the kitchen. And I asked him a very simple question. What would happen the day your wife is late to come home and your children are looking at you and they need you to feed them? And he was just like, I don't know what I'll do. And for me, it brings such a conflict, because I want you to help us, even just encourage the young guys who are struggling with such kind of narratives, because they have seen how they were brought up. Their fathers never went to the kitchen, so they automatically feel that they shouldn't ever go to the kitchen. They can't change diapers. What would you tell such a person who is conflicted between culture and what is seemed to be modernization or westernization?
Well, yeah, I totally agree. That's a conflict area, and it's a major one. I'd like to submit that many people struggle with the issue of mindset, and people who struggle with identity issues as well would struggle with such. And it becomes a very serious area of conflict. I mean, washing dishes doesn't define me as a man, or not washing them. That it doesn't define me as a man. And if you know your identity, the issue of who does the laundry, who does the cleaning up, who does change the diapers does not arise, and many people don't realize that. So the woman is left to do most of the chores at home, and she gets so weary, and that's why most families are struggling, because the wife is grumpy, because she's overwhelmed. The man wants just to come and sit on the couch and, watch TV, or if he realizes that, the environment is not okay, then he stays with the buddies and comes home whenever he wants. Yeah, it's an area of struggle. But let me say this. There are good men who have not struggled with such. But I would say a major part, especially, and I will speak as a Christian, being born again really helped me, because it works on your rough edges, and you find that espousing certain ideals, certain practices becomes very easy. And all these ideals, for me personally, have helped me. Like, I've never found it difficult as a man. I mean, all the way from my children's, birth. Like, for each of my children, I have been at the birth chamber with my wife until the child is born. I have seen that, and it's impacted, my life tremendously. To know, wow, this is not easy, as anyone would imagine. And that never leaves you the same. By the time you live there, you want to nurture, you want to take care of her, you want to do everything for her, because you can't imagine the pain that that woman has gone through. And also, within the house, like for me, I mean, changing diapers is, for each and every one of my children, has never been an issue. Going to sleep to make sure that the children have slept. We take turns. It's never been an issue. Like I will tell you now, in our case, the last two who are still young, we alternate with my wife. Sometimes they insist, "Daddy, will you come and sleep with me? Mommy, will you come and sleep with me?" And all they want is just to, bedtime stories and to feel, they can cuddle and all that. So it takes mindset. Managing your mindset, because if you imagine if you do this, you will become less of a man, then you have a problem. So for me, I would say, and I would encourage any man, any young man who is getting married and beginning to get children, define what works for you within your family. Define those parameters for yourself. And just do what both of you are comfortable. Leave the world out there. What they're saying, or what the culture that you have grown in, and choose to make each other happy, and help each other. I think that's what I would say.
Wow, I think you're bringing up very, very, very important and pertinent issues. One is the issue of identity, and I think when you spoke about it just earlier, it calls with what you're saying right now, that there are things that men undergo, and I think I've talked to very many of my friends before they became daddies and after they became daddies, and I think their wild views changed like instantly. Like, that process of childbirth is never leaves anybody the same, and especially for the men. And I think at that particular point, they start realizing that there are certain things they must do, and they kind of start also understanding why other people do what they do. And you also say that you should leave the world out there and have that communication and understanding of how you will operate as a family. And it is important what you said about the family, having a family vision. That is one of the things I love to teach people. I love making sure that people understand the reason why you have to have solid value systems. The foundation for your family should be coiled around values. And that can only be defined by the people within that family institution. And it's about being very intentional. I think we struggle because we have a lot of information all over us. I think from our phones, from our computers, from the TV, from the things we watch, we are bombarded with different kinds of information. Some align, some don't align. And of course, that is normally a point of conflict. We want to also be seen like the perfect parents. So I keep asking people, what does a perfect parent look like? Because we are all different and we are unique. And our circumstances are also very different. So I want you to also just tell us how, as a dad particularly, how you manage to create a bonding time, for all your children. How do you manage during the day, or is it during the week? How do you set aside time to just bond with your children? And then how do you manage your own self time? And then how do you also manage time with your spouse? Just tell us how that works.
Okay. Thank you. Let me just say, that's a very, very critical area in a marriage setup. Creating care time and bonding time for each and every family member, including my spouse. So let me say, I'm not perfect, but you know, I've also struggled because work demands. You come home, you're so tired. There are moments that, you know, I come from work, I have been so beaten up. I just want to take a shower, relax on the couch, and from there just go straight to bed. I don't want anything. And like they say, you know, as men, we exhaust our words during the day. So when we get home, we are likely to get into our man cave. And at that moment, you don't want to say anything. But anyway, for me, I have had to be very deliberate. First of all, with the little ones, it is when they come from school, doing homework, that's a bonding time. And when we do that often, we'll go through homework, I will review homework with them, and we will take turns with my wife as well. And another very good bonding time for the young ones, the very young ones, is when we are going to sleep. So we pray together in the evenings, and we use that time to give each and every one of us hair time, just to talk about how their day was. And we interact a lot. And for the little ones, from there we pick them and we take them to bed, and that's bonding time. For the ones who are slightly older, we have allocated time. Sometimes it is me and the girls alone. The mommy is not there, and it is just daddy and the girls' time. And there are moments it is daddy and the boys. And sometimes we would just create those moments just to catch up. We may choose to take a drive, we may just choose to have coffee, and sometimes we will not do these things in the house. We will just go out where they will feel free. We play together as well. Apart from praying, we play just to make sure that we are enjoying time together. And it's the same with their mommy. There is, you know, mommy boys time, mommy girls time, and you know, with the older ones. And this one, we are deliberate. We are quite conscious about it, because there are things that the girls would feel comfortable talking to their mommy and not to me. And that's very important. And there are stuff that the boys would feel comfortable talking to me and not their mommy, and that's okay. Even though, you know, their mommy and I will eventually converge, and we will level the ground and talk about everything.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it goes on. But yes, we are deliberate on this one, and we know it is very important. Like, for example, with having, you know, many children like I do, those are different personalities represented there, and each child is different. And if I don't create ample time to bond with each of the children, I mean, there's a risk of actually treating them generally, which is which can't work in this case. So we are deliberate. We are not perfect. We are still working on it, because sometimes we think like we've not given each and every one of them ample time. But it's work in progress. And the good thing is that we are deliberate about it, and we are aware.
You know, I love that you are not making work an excuse, or the fact that you're the main provider an excuse not to be home. So for the parents who are listening to us, and especially for the daddies, yes, the Bible even says that you will eat from your sweat and you're the provider of the house, but that should not be an excuse not to make time. You have to be very, very deliberate, and hence the theme of our podcast this season. It's to be proactive and intentional. If you want good results, if you want to be able to create deep relationships, you can't create that by osmosis. You have to do the work. And I like even what he's saying, that, you know, everybody in your family presents a different personality. And actually, there's something that I've been teaching people called the love language. And it's just first understanding what your love language is and looking at the other person and realizing their love language is probably acts of kindness or affirmation or time. And when you're being deliberate on creating that bonding time, speak to that person or your child or your spouse through their love language. And I think that is something that we all need to be encouraged to start doing. I know there are people who tell me, but Evelyn, my children are old. Imagine being a parent and being in a space where we are forever students of life. We are lifelong students. It is good when you start early, but that doesn't mean even though you have older children, you cannot still create that bonding time, because it's about the memories you create now, the things that they will remember you, how they want to mirror the kind of parenting or the kind of experiences that you're showing them now to their children. And it is a blessing when we see our grandchildren being raised in a certain way, and you'll just tap yourself and say, you know what, I taught my son or my daughter that. So as we are still in this conversation, I want you to just tell us how you have managed to use things like discipline and consequences, because you have a range of children. So you have the young adults, you have teenagers and pre-teenagers, and then you have a sort of a toddler somewhere. So when it comes to parenting, technology, discipline, between you and your wife, who is the disciplinarian? Who is the subtle parent where, you know, when somebody is doing something cheeky in the house, they're like, I'd rather go to mommy, not daddy, or I'd rather go to daddy, not to mommy. How does that work? Because, you know, technology has come and it has become such a huge disruption within the family fabric. Please share with us how that works in your home.
Yeah, discipline. Wow. That's a tough one, and you can't do without it. I would like to say that there's a training we went through when we were still young parents. I don't know whether you know a gentleman called Stanley Mukole.
Yes.
From the Navigators, he really helped us, and he helped us debug even the issue of disciplining and bringing up the children. You know, the scripture that says if you do not, you deny your children the spanking. I mean, I'm paraphrasing it.
Yes.
You're doing a disservice, actually. Mm-hmm. Because disciplining. Or the stick itself drives out foolishness. Mm-hmm. There's some foolishness that will not go if you do not discipline your child, and that I know. So within my family, actually, I am the disciplinarian, but I have learned the art of combining soft love and tough love. I actually have a spank. I learned early in life, don't use your hand, your bare hand, if you're spanking. With all due respect, there are some parents who do not believe in spanking and stuff like that. Me, I do. But we learned early in life that don't use your hand to discipline. The hand that would cuddle and hold your baby, don't use that. Use an object instead. So I have a spank in the house, and I keep it very well, and I use it appropriately at the appropriate time. And before anyone is disciplined in that sense, it's a process. You've been told something once, twice, and this is the third time. And we agree that has refused to go. Now we need to drive it out. So we have a mantra in the house. So And sometimes we give the children an opportunity to say what kind of discipline they would want, and we agree whether it is adequate. So that is on the extreme. But we also use other reinforcement measures. So for example, if there's a gift that one was to get because of doing this and this, then you are denied that opportunity. If it is watching a program in the TV, you forgo. If it is going out to play and you messed up, then like they do in school where you sit on the punishment chair, you're denied that opportunity, but you have to be deliberate. I tell you, children are sharp. Children are learning. You will discover that the things that you teach at home, when they go out there, their friends help them to unlearn very fast. So you have to know how to inculcate that consistently with a lot of patience and build a culture within your family. And this is the Mutua's family. This is how we live. This is how we run our lives within this family. And within our mission statement, one of the things that we have espoused is that family comes first, before anything else, before our friends, before anything out there. Once we live within these values, if you flout the values, then there are consequences. So for me, the long and short of it is that there are sometimes that spanking will take place and it's really tough, but we've been taught how to do it very well, because after the discipline has been administered, you also show love. You don't condemn the child, you don't judge the child, you don't call them names. You deal with the issue and separate the issue from the child so that you can help them inculcate the right values.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. I think I'm very glad as well that I was taught very early how never to use my hands to conflict and to show pain. Because if my hands are the ones that show love, the child is normally confused when you're using the same hand to insert pain on them. And so, yes, I learned also from a friend of mine. Her name is Ruth. She has a stick that is branded. Spare the rod, spoil the child. And so that is what she uses when she's, driving the discipline in, and especially in those moments where you really have to use the rod. And I know it works within certain spectrums of bringing up the child. They have to understand that, yes, when conversation sometimes needs to be enforced, there are certain measures that we put. And I love when you say that discipline is a process. One of the things I also learned very, very early is that that the issue of separating the issue from the child is first very important. And when you're disciplining that child, they need to know why. Because probably you have been talking to them and maybe they're not understanding. And that could be a failure in the process. It's not that they're being deviant or defiant, but it's because probably they didn't understand. I realized this some time back when I used to keep asking my children, the rules of the house, we have rules in the house. And then I asked myself, do they really even know the rules? Because my husband said, which rules are you talking about? And then as a sort of now my punishment, I told them, why don't you sit down and write for me the rules that you do know? And they really struggled. So for me, I went back to the process. Because sometimes we keep saying that, we have rules in this house, we have rules in this house. And that time by the day, your voice is so escalated that the children are just listening to the noise. They hardly listen to what you're saying. But It is important for each parent who is listening to just first and foremost understand, do your children know that when you keep saying the rules of the house, do they know what rules you're talking about? When you're punishing them, do they know why they're being punished? Were they part of the discussion? Because I think with even like teenagers need to be part of the discussion when you're creating certain rules. Because maybe when they're pre-teenagers, it worked. Now that they're teenagers, it's a new ballgame. And they need to be able to understand this is when we're creating this rule, this is why we are creating it, but these are the consequences should we break these rules. And I love that part where you say, this discipline is a process. I think I will use that, and please allow me to just use that phrase. Discipline is a process. Yeah. And then please show your children love even after you discipline them, because it is about the issue. It's not about the child. You know, you're not hating the child for doing something. You're trying to help them manage a certain issue. I love that, and I'm loving this conversation. So within our podcast, we introduced something called Quick Fire. And Quick Fire is just about questions that I'd ask you, random questions, whatever comes to your head, you just, you know, answer it. And the first question in our Quick Fire session is, tell us your favorite model of car. Think about it.
I'm not thinking about it. It's a Range Rover.
Range Rover, why?
I find it strong, mm-hmm. manly, mm-hmm. and it represents my personality because I'm a choleric.
Oh, good.
And it has detail because I'm a very detailed person.
That is very interesting. You looked at the car specifications and matched it with your personality. Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. Junk food or healthy food?
Healthy food for me.
Why?
Okay. Earlier on, if you asked me that question earlier on, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have cared. But now, I've reached another floor, and I am so conscious about my health.
Okay. Because you know the consequences of junk food.
I know the consequences. Yes.
But I hope you still even indulge.
Even when I go to a restaurant, I'm unconsciously now, I will go for healthy eating.
Okay.
Yes.
But I hope once in a while, when you see that once burger, you just...
Once in a while. Apparently, I don't like burgers, but pizza, yes, which you don't like yourself. Pizza. You know, I would just spoil myself.
Wow. Pizza. Oh, okay. Mm. Apart from parenting, what is your passion?
My passion. Personally, I'm an encourager. That's one thing that I know. And I'm passionate about helping people to become better in their lives. Whether it is through, the engagements I have about financial literacy, financial development, and stuff like that, economic development, I like helping people to, you know, to become better in their lives. Even in our conversation, I'm always looking for forward to, you know, how can we make this better, people's lives and stuff. I'm really passionate about that, and also, from a Christian point of view, if you know what I mean.
Yes, I do. I absolutely know what you mean. Between reading a book, watching a movie, and listening to music, which is your favorite?
You're mentioning all of them. Those are my areas. I love reading. You can separate music. My goodness, music. You can't separate. And then for movies, I'm choosing. I like documentaries and real life stories.
Interesting. So give us your parting shot as a parent. What would you like, especially the male parents, either those who are coming into this space, those who are already there, those who feel like they're not very sure where they're going or what is happening? What would be your word of encouragement as a parting shot?
Thank you. That's a very good question. For me, I would say, first of all, relax. Men, relax. Breathe in and relax. And I would like to, you know, to encourage you to do this one thing. Make it deliberate to seek to know and find out what works for you within your family center. Don't borrow what, other people are doing. Just be deliberate and seek to find out what would work within your family setup. And then once you have identified, because families are different, your work demands are different, your personalities are different, your setups are different, once you have identified, you know, what would work best for you, find out the best way to implement it. Don't beat yourself so hard. Find out the best way to implement and just begin with simple steps. Don't overwhelm yourself. If it is the issue of, you know, disciplining, find out how best you can go about it. If it is the issue of helping your wife with, you know, with the household chores, find out what would work and do the best whenever you're doing it. Give it your best. And then the third point I would say, keep improving and adjusting as you move, as you go on. Keep improving on it, adjusting. As you do this over and over, like we are usually taught, if you do something for 21 days, it becomes part of you, it becomes a habit. Everything we learn, and it can be done. You can actually be the spouse that you know is understanding, is a helpmeet, is a you know, you're supportive to your spouse. You can do it. And I would like to encourage, especially men, be understanding and just help your wife around. Bringing up children is tough. Parenting is tough. And it requires, you know, deliberate effort from both, you know, both parents. I think that's what I would say. And I would say, especially that, you know, the fact that you talked about, you know, the issue of patience. Trust God to give you patience, because we learn very, you know, important values from the farmer. You put in a seed and you have to wait, you have to water it, you have to wait, you have to weed until you get the final crop. And it is the same with our children. It requires a lot of patience, it requires a lot of hard work. And it's my encouragement to each and every one of us, you know, as men, to realize that it is important to do it that way. And at the end of the day, we will have, you know, children who are well-nurtured, responsible citizens, and we will have churned out, you know, beautiful products out there who will build the nation and will be a blessing to us, you know, as parents. I think that's my parting shot. Thank you.
Wow. I'm feeling like I'm the one in class right now and you're my teacher. And I will make sure the first person who listens to this podcast is my dear husband. And dear listener, I know you have learned something. And for me, one of the things that I have taken out of this wonderful conversation I've had with my very good friend is, first and foremost, please have a family mission. Because that statement, even if it is a work in progress, it will always be something that is guiding you towards your mission and your goal. So please create something with everybody in the family in mind. If you can have everybody in the family, create that family vision with you. Learn and look at what works for you. I think we have so much pressure from outside that we bring within and it dismantles the system. Work from within and block out the voices that come from outside. One of the other things I have learned is to create time. You must create time. And that is part of why we are being intentional and why we are being proactive. When you have to be proactive, there are things you will forego and there are other things that you will make sure that you're creating time for. And then, of course, learn the personalities of the people within your house. And you cannot escape from discipline, but discipline and show love. And I want to thank you so much, my good friend, Father Abraham, for being with us today, for sharing your knowledge. And I hope when I ask you to be back into our podcast, you will not mind coming back and just sharing more wisdom with us. I do pray for you to continue being that intentional parent, to be an enthusiast, to keep, you know, encouraging, especially fathers out there, because I sadly saw a report that was showing that very many of the people in the correctional facility are there because they lack a father figure. And so with your journey, with this podcast, I hope it will encourage someone out there to step up and be a father who will make a difference in the generation that is here, that is being disrupted, and the children are finding themselves in the places where they're not supposed to be. So thank you so much. And we want to ask you to... we want to ask you all to please subscribe to our channel so that whenever we have a new podcast up, you get the notification. And we want to ask you also to share this with your friends and your families and the people within your ecosystem. May what we share in terms of digital parenting be an encouragement to you and to the people around you. And until next week, we want to wish you happy week ahead and happy parenting. Thank you so much.